Hi everyone, and welcome to Two Words with Takumi. This is a very special episode with Sophie
Kalagas.
I've been saying Kalagas this whole time. You must have people do
no
that.
No one ever knows how to pronounce it. I accept everything.
Yes, Sophie. And if you haven't listened to this podcast before, it's all about writing, storytelling, words, putting words together. And Sophie is a very special wordsmith because she is the editor at Frankie Magazine. And just letting you know, we're sitting in Sophie's massive dining room house. It's beautiful. And her puppy dog, Woody, may come in and out. So if you hear a dog, don't freak out. We're just really comfy.
You might just hear really quiet little footsteps.
Yeah, and he's actually really cute. Okay, so Sophie, tell us a little bit about what you do and how you ended up being the editor at Frankie.
Sure. I actually began studying to be a PR professional. So PR was my major, but I did a communications degree where PR and media and journalism were the three different streams. And I realized PR was not my thing. And I was actually doing a group project where different people had created all the different parts of it. And I was the one who had to bring them all together and like edit them to create like a nice flow and make the sound, like the tone similar. And I realized I really loved that. And I was like, maybe editing is something that I could be into.
So soon you knew editing.
I just realized I really liked working with words, and I have a very my attention to detail is quite strong, and I like things that are quite ordered and like creating order and stuff. So that kind of made sense. And I also was working, when I was younger, I worked in a news agency for a really long time, and I loved magazines and stuff. So I thought, well, maybe mag editing would be something I could do, but it did seem quite difficult to get into. So I ended up doing basically a bunch of internships, just small placements, like a week, a few weeks. I did some up in Sydney, got a more of a sense of what being an editor in a magazine involved. I think being in the environment is invaluable for actually understanding what a role is, because you never really know until you're there. And did some longer internships in Melbourne, and ended up, my first full-time role was actually editing a website. It was like an events website that had kind of like cultural articles, like news and stuff, and I was there for a couple of years. And then a job opening was just advertised at Frankie Magazine, and it was for the online editor and assistant editor for the Mac. And Frankie was my favourite mag. I'd been reading it for years, and I'd actually said to a friend, I was so happy in my other job, I'd only leave if something came up at like Frankie or something. And then this happened like literally like a week later, and we were like, whoa, this is really weird. I have to apply. Yeah, and then I got it. So that was like 5.5 years ago, and I've kind of managed to, I've had some really amazing mentorship from the former Frankie editor, Joe Walker, over the years, who I was working with. And then over time, I managed to get promoted, and I've been editing the mag for like 2.5 years now.
Yikes. Yeah. That's amazing. If you don't know what Frankie Magazine is, it's a super cool magazine that's pretty much come into my life probably this year, I think. Right. And it's, I just always say it's for arty-farty people, creative minds, people who just have that gift or that interest in everything from fashion to sewing to, I mean, everything. And I mean, how would you describe the magazine?
I think definitely
more succinctly than me.
No. Well, look, we still actually really struggle to have like the elevator pitch of what Frankie is. But I think definitely for like creatively minded people, but also just if you're interested in human stories, like we have a lot of just like normal people telling interesting things that have happened to them or interesting projects that they've created and that kind of thing as well. So you don't have to be like a creative person to read it, just kind of I think just curious and interested in other people and appreciating what they're doing in their lives.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah. Okay, so let's jump straight into the main reason why I wanted to chat to you was about how to submit articles to magazines. So we'll use obviously Frankie as an example. Sure. But I guess I've been going through this thing where I've got ideas or topics that I'm really fired up about that don't quite fit into my normal, you know, scope of work, you know, working with kids stuff, TV stuff. But but then I go, oh, I'd love to write this and put it somewhere. And I have certain magazines that I read and I go, oh, I could submit something. But then I've been kind of a bit out of touch with that kind of world. And I thought, oh, I'll ask you because I have looked at Frankie's submissions page. Mm. And I thought you might have some tips or things that you can sort of give us insight as an editor, like the process. Like how does it work when you then receive this barrage of submissions? Could you tell us a bit about what that looks like at Frankie? And then we'll go into maybe bits of advice.
Yeah,
after.
Definitely. As you said, we have a submissions page where there is a few different email addresses depending on whether they're editorial submissions or there's also like photography and illustration stuff as well. And they come through to the relevant, I call it departments. It's really like one or two people is a whole department, but to the relevant people in the office. So we do get a lot. So you definitely want to make your submission stand out pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, it's just kind of a matter of checking in whenever we get a chance, kind of going through the submissions that arrive. And sometimes it'll just be putting some aside if there's like interesting ideas that we want to explore, but it's not quite the right time. Like they're too similar to something in the magazine already, or that we've just run recently, or we know that there's something we want to do down the line. Woody's having a big drink, it's a hot day. But if we know there's something that we want to do down the line, that it might fit better with. So I definitely, even if you don't get an immediate response, there have been people we've run in the mag that have maybe submitted it like months ago. Mm-hmm. And then I've been like, hello, I'm finally getting in touch with you. I hope it's still okay and you're still interested. Yeah. It's just kind of a matter of us going through them whenever we have an opportunity.
But what's the thing when you see it or you see a submission, what is it that grabs you? Because I guess that's what you can say, try and make yourself stand out. But if somebody has no idea how to do that.
Totally.
What does that look like? Or what could that look like?
Subject lines are important. Mm-hmm. So I think the ones that I'm more likely to open and read give a sense of what's inside in the subject line. It's not just submission or like something quite generic that's like, I want to write for Frankie or something. Like that's great, but we do get a lot of those. So if you can give a sense of what the topic might be about, the angle you're thinking of taking just in a few words, then that's going to make me go, oh, I'm interested in that topic, I'll see what they have to say. So as far as like the immediately grabbing something that I will open, the subject line makes a huge difference. But then also in the email itself, I think just, again, trying to avoid anything too formal and cookie cutter in the email, giving across a little bit of personality so you can kind of get a sense of what the kind of tone would be of the writing. Mm-hmm. I think like Frankie, you know, we're all about writers showing their personality. It's quite a fun, relaxed kind of creative vibe in all our writing. So yeah, we want to see that come across straight away rather than being too much of like a formal cover letter style.
Oh, okay. So you'd like somebody to sort of introduce themselves, like, hey, this is what I'm about, this is what I like, and then just get straight into pitching the topic or actually writing. What do you prefer? Seeing a pitch for the topic or the whole thing?
I think a pitch. Yeah. I definitely don't expect people to send through the whole thing. If they have something they've written that they really like and think that it could suit Frankie, then for sure send it through. But I don't expect that from the get-go. I think just a bit of an outline is what's most important for me. So like an overview of what the topic would be, like what the article would be about, what kind of style they imagine it, as in the format, because mm-hmm. we obviously have different types of articles throughout the mag. And then, just a really brief kind of summary of the path they imagine the article taking. And mm-hmm. then if that's something that I think that has legs, even if it's not exactly right, then that's something we can talk through and figure out how we can make it fit better with Frankie's editorial. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think just like a good summary.
Okay.
Yeah.
and what about lead times in terms of, I think on the page it said something like, you know, give yourself a couple of months or something like,
I haven't read that page in a while, I have to admit.
Yeah, it said something like, if you have a particular theme or something, let's say it's a Christmas one, don't pitch it, 2 weeks before Christmas.
Yes, definitely.
Pitch it, I don't know, even in July maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
Is that important to you as well?
Yeah.
For planning and all of that?
Yeah, for sure. So we don't run a lot of very time-specific content because we like Frankie to feel quite timeless, so when people pick it up in any time of year in 2 years' time, it can still feel quite relevant.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, yeah, if it's something that has like a seasonal focus or, I don't know, say it's something about like ways to keep cool or something, we wouldn't run that in winter, obviously. So, so keeping that in mind is definitely useful for us. As I say, like I do sometimes keep things on file if it comes in at the wrong time of year or something, but it is nice when that thought has been put into it. I think that's one thing that really stands out in pitches as well is you can tell when people have read the publication and have a sense of our tone and the type of articles that we run. And sometimes people will say, I can imagine this fitting into this column that you have that's a regular article or something like that. And that's really nice. You can tell that people have put some thought into it rather than just blanket sending out to like every publication.
Mm-hmm.
So
Oh yeah, that makes sense. And I think that's also why I've been feeling like, I get the vibe, I get what it's like. And I think like you said, that's quite important about knowing the publication well enough that you feel like you're part of that wider or larger voice rather than blanket sending stuff. Because that was an idea at the beginning, like, I'll just send it and whoever picks it up will be great. But then I went, so much better when you actually
have the invested connection.
And it's the same with I subscribed to The Big Issue. I did that like years ago because I just thought, I don't know what to do about this homelessness stuff, so I'll just do this. And then they also have, really good submissions.
It's great publication.
And it's the same thing. It's like, I definitely feel like my heart would be able to write towards this. So then as an editor, so putting your editor hat on, what are your pet hates? Like things that you roll your eyes or you just go, oh my gosh, I can't even believe people are still doing this in 2018. Are there things that irk you even in those submissions that then come through? And then it doesn't have to be, I'm just curious.
Yeah, oh gosh.
Because I guess you said, you have an attention to detail and putting things together. So I'm going, then there's no way you would see something and be like, I'm okay with that.
There are things that no one else would even notice. Like I'm my biggest like editing tip when I'm kind of talking to young editors is just remove the word, like 90% of the time that the word that is used in writing, it's
that
superfluous. Yeah, it doesn't
like
need
how
to
give
be
me
there.
An example.
Oh gosh, I don't think of a sentence. I think like people just dot them into sentences where it's not really needed, and often when you take it out, it just kind of tightens everything up and makes everything just read like the flow is a lot nicer. Can't think of any sentences.
No,
right,
but
now
I know what you mean because that is, yes, I know what you mean because I've been in classes where they say put the that, because then that's what makes it. Oh, I can't even.
Oh, they say the opposite, do they?
As in even from school, I just remember saying, this is so hard when you can't think of an example.
I know.
Stumped by that. Oh, hello, you're back, Woody. Don't lick my leg, that's weird. Okay, the word that. I'm sure we'll find an example.
As far as like Frankie specific kind of stories? I guess the thing, because a lot of people pitch first person. We have like, we call them rants in house. Mm-hmm. And when they're kind of like single page first person stories. And I guess like it's quite tricky for people who aren't used to writing in that style. But I guess, yeah, one thing that comes through a lot is people who write them, the submissions, a bit more like personal diaries. That's like very like focused 100% on them and their experiences. And that can be interesting sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I think when we get those submissions, I look more for approaches where it's like it can be based on personal experience and focused around those stories, but you have to let the reader in. It has to be a little bit broader than just all about you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, kind of about like
a topic or like a more universal experience, basically.
And that makes sense, because it's one thing to read one person's experience, but then how can people relate to it,
I guess?
And how do you kind of talk about people beyond yourself as well? And I think I'm a bit like that as well. Is that, I know I'm the person going through this, but I'm sure I'm not the only writer going through these questions, you know, going, oh, how can I, you know, put my stories and words out there? So, okay, that's actually a really good point as well, because even with some of the young people that I work with who have things that they're fired up about and they want to say, and it's like, okay, yeah, okay, that's great that you want to say this, but then what? Because I always say, where's the hope in the article? Where's the thing that's going to help people kind of connect more, or want to help, or want to invest? But if it's just, you know, just a rant against the systems or against whatever, it's just...
You've got to let the reader in.
Yeah, like, what are you going to say? Yeah. Okay, and over the years, are there any memorable articles that you've seen or submissions that have come from maybe non-writers or people who've tried for the first time? Is there anything that's really stood out, and maybe what they did?
I'm trying to think what they are. I know we've definitely had we do have ongoing kind of regular writers, but we do run a lot of stories from people who've just submitted out of the blue as well. I'm just trying to think of, there've been some really beautiful I know I just said you don't want to be too personal, but there have been some that have been written in a way that I think it is their experience, but it kind of opens up to the reader as well. There was one beautiful one from a writer who, whose father actually passed away, but it was that she wrote it while he was still alive, and he wanted her to write a eulogy for him. And it was like the most, it was really beautiful, touching story. It was very emotional, but, she just wrote it so beautifully. I think that's often the ones that grab you the most when, it's life stories that are very poignant and kind of make you stop and think and like appreciate what he's just sprawling out in the heat
and
on
licking
the ground.
My feet.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a lot of love. I must say, it's wonderful.
But yeah, just ones that kind of make you stop and reflect, I think, on your own life and the people around you and stuff. So yeah, I'm trying to think what else there's been.
Oh, that's okay. It's so funny. Even when I was coming to see you, I was thinking, which article of hers should I talk about? I went, there's doesn't matter. Yeah. Honestly, she's written so much. There's heaps.
Mine aren't the most exciting ones.
There's heaps. And I like Mia's stories as well. Yeah. Is she still there?
She's recently left. We have a new assistant editor, Emma Doe, and she's amazing.
Yeah.
But Mia does still write for us freelance.
Great.
So yeah, she's still in the family.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. And what about Jo? Because is she still... Because there
Jo's
was an editor-in-chief, and I went, is it the same?
Yeah, so she wasn't, when she became editor-in-chief, she was more working, she was kind of had an overview of, because we have other publications as well, Smith Journal, so she was kind of there if myself and Smith Journal editor Chris needed kind of bounce ideas off for like run things past another editor's brain, but she was more kind of overseeing like other publications that we created. So we have Spaces, which is an annual mag that's just focused on people's houses and studios, and we say places where they work, create and play, I think. Yeah, that's it. I should know that. And yeah, we put out a specialized just food magazine that was a one-off. Mm-hmm. And so she was kind of looking at over those other extensions. Yeah, she has recently finished up. We've got a bit of a new team at the moment, which is some really great people, great talents.
Yeah,
but yeah, Jo's still writing for us as well. Okay. So people don't go very far.
I've heard her on the podcast, and so Frankie has the Frankie podcast. I can't remember what it's called exactly.
The most recent one we've done, it was called Good Job.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Oh, Great Job. And it's it was like people talking us through like how they got their really interesting jobs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she did a good job on that. A great job on that.
And what about if you've been somebody who's been writing over the years and you've just stacked stuff in your shelves and not done anything with it? Do you have any tips around what to do with some of that material in terms of even looking at it with a fresh eye or an objective eye, or just really honing your writing better? Because obviously it's quite a daunting thing to submit your stuff to places as well, especially for people who do have things they've written but are too scared to. So do you have any tips around really making sure that what you submit is the best version of what you can submit?
Take out all the that's.
No. That.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to make that the cover image for this episode. Just that with a line through it. Yes.
Oh gosh, that's a tricky one. That's a big question. I guess, yeah, look, coming to stuff you've written in the past with fresh eyes is obviously like so important, I think. Sometimes I would almost recommend doing that, even if it's not just because you've been too nervous to submit or anything, but actually, yeah, coming to it later, when your brain isn't so caught up in everything and the nitty-gritty, is great. But I guess flow of the article or story or whatever it may be is so important. So I think sometimes that's one of the best things, I think, coming to with a fresh brain, is reading it as the reader would read it, as opposed to how you as the writer are reading it. So just making sure that, you know, it starts and sets it up in a way that's going to capture the reader, and it's a logical progression of the article, so that, you know, you're not losing the reader anywhere along the way interest, but also just understanding what's happening. Gosh, what else?
What about length of article? Do you at Frankie have a, you know, like a word count length? Or
we do have regular word counts, so you know, our single page stories are about 650 words every time, and it's more like kind of 1400 for the double page stories. But we're open to longer things as well, definitely. If it's a nicely written article, then we'll give it the space it needs, definitely. So, I guess if you're writing with Frankie in mind, a fairly tight story is often going to be easier to get across the line.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's more to say, then tell us.
Say it. Be free and write.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the reason I was asking is because last year, so I entered Frankie's Good Stuff Awards with a story that I'd sat on for 2 years.
Right.
And I wrote that in Perth, didn't think I'd do anything with it, and then I turned it into that radio play, which I then submitted. And that's kind of what I've been trying to encourage some of my writer friends, like, just if you've got something, just put it in, because you just don't know. It's not even just submissions for the articles, but, you know, there's lots of competitions and different things.
Absolutely.
Where you know, your voice or your perspective might just be the thing that nobody's ever heard before. And yeah, I definitely enjoyed the experience of entering that, because then I was able to see other people's work, and it just kind of showed me different styles of writing, different styles of how people are telling their stories. And then even just reading Frankie itself, it's like, oh, it's nice when you... I kept saying, like, this magazine actually feels like it fits me, because then it's all the creative corners of my brain, rather than just, oh, you know, one magazine, you might read one article and that's it. So that's that was kind of a nice thing to realize, like, you know, sometimes you might read the news and think, oh, I really want to say something, but that's not your platform, or it's not the place where you might add something. And
I really think getting your work out there is absolutely the most important thing you can do, even if, you know, it's not immediately picked up in a bunch of places. You might get some really nice feedback, or I think just reading a lot of publications, being aware of the different platforms that are out there, trying to find one that is going to fit you better, and also just reading or listening to other people's work to kind of see what you like about it, seeing what they're doing really well that you can perhaps be inspired by and take that on board when you're creating your own work. So, like that's kind of... With the Good Stuff Awards, that's something that we really wanted, was for it to be a platform for people to get their work out, absolutely, but also to be interacting and learning from each other. And we've actually created a Facebook group this year. People can join and interact with other entrants stuff and kind of, share tips and tricks and get advice and, just show off their stuff and everything. So, that's, I think... seeing what else is out there and putting your own stuff out there. I know it can be scary sometimes, but I think that's the only way you're going to grow as a writer, is to get it into the world, basically.
Yes. Yeah. And how do you personally deal with the cringe? I call it the cringe, as in when I read stuff I've published ages ago and go, oh my gosh, who wrote that? Do you ever have those moments, and how do you... deal with that? Because obviously we're growing as people, different experiences, and how you might have felt when you wrote that article 5 years ago is different now.
I think that's only natural. I do get that kind of feeling sometimes where you're just like, oh, I would have done it differently these days. But I think, as you say, you're growing as a person and a writer, and back then what you wrote probably felt pretty great and people might have been really into it, and it just because you would do it differently now doesn't mean it was bad back then as well. I guess that's one thing, but and I think if you've been working on, I want to say your craft, I kind of hate using that word, that sounds so wanky, but like but if you've been like, you know, practicing and trying to grow and learn and stuff, then that's only natural to evolve and get better and tighter as a writer. So I think you just have to embrace it.
But what about these days where things are often taken out of context now as well? So do you have any things that you tell your writers or anybody around self-care, even with the stuff that you write or publish? Because I mean, once things are published, it's very public as well sometimes. And you know, you share this, you know, story about this lady and her dad and the eulogy, and sometimes people share a lot of heartfelt stuff that later, you know, might come back and, I don't know, grow legs in a different way. So are there any tips around that as well? Like, what kind of stuff, is there a boundary to what you should write, or how you, how deep can you go? I know it sounds like it's very subjective, but as in, do you have any recommendations around, what if there are any topics people shouldn't touch, or if there are certain feelings that people should?
I kind of feel like it's just a very personal personal thing. Some people, you know, are just comfortable bearing all and they're just happy to own it. And if people come at them with some sort of opinions, they can just bat it off. But I think you kind of just need to know yourself. And if it's something that's going to cause you anxiety down the line, then maybe it's not quite right for you to... I mean, we will publish... Like, we don't really have limits on how deep you can go if people want to share their stories. Obviously, we don't... Nothing that's going to be offensive to anyone, but as far as, like, telling personal stories, we're open to most things. But yeah, I think it's really knowing yourself. I don't know if that answers your question.
It does because I do say that as well. You're right, knowing yourself in that moment, because you almost have to stand by that.
Yeah, exactly.
Although I have seen some people who then just write stuff and it's just, yeah, sharing, and then it's like, oh, it was too much. So also, yeah. I sometimes say, you know, giving yourself space after you've written something to just sit with it.
So, yeah.
You know, you might be really mad today and just spit out all these words, and then a week later you're like, oh, it's not quite
exactly
the same. So
it's
also
like
not submitting it straight away, you know, just maybe sit on it and make sure you really want to put it out.
It's like texting a friend after an argument or something. Ooh. Like, don't do it immediately. Mm. Just give yourself some space.
Have a wine or a tea.
Exactly. Like, I know some writers as well who, like, some are just, yeah, as I said, just like, this is me, deal with it, whatever. And then there are others that maybe a bit more sensitive or anxious about what they're putting out. And if they publish something a bit personal or that they think people might have an opinion about, they'll just go offline for a week or something.
Oh, after they publish it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And just let it pass. And like, if there are going to be any comments, they don't know about it, and that's okay. Like, so I think it's
their game. I kind of like that. Sounds
yeah.
So, oh.
You just got to, yeah, figure out like what's going to work for you.
What works for you. Yeah. Yeah.
And if it's in print, it's like, maybe just don't read it again, you know,
true,
once you've submitted
yeah,
it all. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a very personal thing.
And what about, silly question, but what about people who use pseudonyms when they submit to you? Is that something that you...
We're open to it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. We've run certain stories under pseudonyms before.
Yeah.
It's usually, yeah, just if it's kind of a bit of a sensitive subject or something very personal, maybe there's like a family story or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're open to that for sure.
Okay. And what about, do you pay your writers or how does that work? Because
yeah,
I'm sure people will want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's important. Yes, we do pay all our contributors. I'm sure we're not like the highest rate out of anyone out there, but we do try and be as fair as we can.
Yeah.
So yeah, just when people submit a story, then we'll just let them know. It's kind of based, we don't pay per word. It's more... we have set fees for certain lengths of stories that we run.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we just let people know when they submit something, if we want to go ahead with it. If they're comfortable with it, then great. And then they just submit an invoice. So it's all quite an easy process. We, I know a lot of freelancers end up having to chase payments for a really long time after they've had something published. And I know, I think sometimes I feel a bit bad because I think it can feel like a long time. Because we're a bi-monthly and you
yeah
know, payments go through on the on sale day every time, so
yeah,
but it is always on a set date. So we know that our writers and photographers and illustrators and stuff are often, you know, freelancers working for themselves, and we don't want to let them go hungry.
Leave them hungry.
Or exactly.
I love Frankie.
Give them the
but
runaround.
Means, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's good to know.
Mm.
And so do you have any other tips or anything else you want to share about that whole submission process, things to think about, maybe things you're looking for, anything that you think might be of interest to anyone who's thinking about submitting to you or anyone else?
I think, like, for me, because we get a lot of pitches for those first-person stories, and that is great. Like, I really appreciate everyone sending them through, but... I'd love to just get some more for different parts of the magazine, you know, like whether they're kind of scientific stories or history of something or, you know, more researchy pieces. And like, yeah, I think just broadening the scope of what people think Frankie might like as well. Just because you haven't seen it in the mag before doesn't mean we won't publish it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great. It's great when someone comes to us with an idea that we're like, oh, I hadn't thought about before. And that's like really cool and exciting. So I think just dig deep with the creativity and think about as well. Because what with our content, when we're putting it all together, our biggest kind of rule that we run by is if it doesn't excite us, then we don't put it in the magazine. So I guess that's kind of the same with submissions. Like if it's something that excites you, then send it through. Like don't send through what you think we would want. Send through what you want to read.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you can tell that even from reading the Frankie thing. There's a vibe. in how you, even as a team, talk to us. Even your little letter at the front from Soph and the team. It's like, oh, okay, yeah. Now what have we got this month?
You know, we're a family.
It's really nice. Okay, well, that's been really useful. And you talked about the Good Stuff Awards, which are happening at the moment in terms of you're open to receiving.
We are. We want to hear from everyone out there.
Stories, artwork, amazingness. And yeah, if you're listening to this, it's open to Australian residents?
Australia and New Zealand.
Australia and New Zealand. Yeah, if you are... Yeah, I'll speak, I guess, to the writers. If you have a story that you want to submit, or a podcast, or anything like that, you can.
Anything.
Yeah, it can be anything. Mm. It's really an opportunity to just try.
Definitely.
Nothing to lose.
We've got some great judges. Ben Laws judging the writing and podcast category again this year, and he's super supportive and excited. He wants to see what everyone sends through, so
I highly recommend doing it, or even just being part of this group of people, because it's funny. I haven't really had a lot of brands on the podcast, because I was like, I just want to talk to real people. Whereas this, it just feels like, oh yeah, no, I like your vibes. No, I know these people. No, they're cool. So yes, that's why you're
we
hearing.
Fooled you.
Yes. So so this is Two Words with Taku. If you want to find me and my work, I'm at taku.com.au and on Instagram at Taku Speaks. And then if you want to find Frankie Magazine, you can find them at, I think it's
frankie.com.au.
There you go.
Pretty simple.
Sophie, you've got an Instagram as well.
I do.
You want people to find you?
No, I can if you want.
Sure. So, where do we find your work or
it's
pictures?
Just at S. Caligus. So I don't know if my name's going to be written somewhere. But
I'll put it all in the notes, and I'll put links, and I'll put a picture of her, and definitely with that crossed out, struck through.
Important.
Yes, it's important. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.